This being the first Sunday of the new year, I want to talk to you about a vision for your life, a very personalized vision for your life. I want you to be able to explore that God has this wonderful and amazing plan for you that you really have to see. And if you do your part, if each of you in our church will do your own part, then corporately as a church, we have a great church. So great lives brought together create great community, a great church. And that's, of course, what we're praying for in the year 2014. What I want to remind you about is that the Lord is really at work in so many different ways all in your life. And you just have to see it because He is busy all the time. In 1971, when Walt Disney World in Florida was first opened, they were having their grand opening. And one of the speakers at the grand opening said, "It's a shame that Walt passed away before he could see his dream come true." And Mrs. Lillian Disney, when she got a chance to speak, she stood up and she said, "If Walt hadn't seen it first, the rest of us wouldn't be seeing it now." The Lord is trying to inspire you with a vision for your life, and together that makes a vision for our church life. And the Lord is trying to show you His vision for your life. And that vision has to be real. It has to be true. In Christianity, this is all about truth. Christians aren't afraid of truth. Christians are afraid of deception. We love the truth. However the Lord's vision is for us, that's exactly what we want. We love the truth. In our passage that you heard this morning in the scripture reading from James chapter 4, it's interesting that we tend to take that in a rather negative way. So think of it this way. When James 4:13 says, "Go to," we say, "Come now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." It's interesting because in that case, we are imagining that we're going against God's plan. I'm going to do this and I haven't really conferred with God. And then God is going to thwart it. He's going to hinder it. I have this plan. And what I should be doing is checking to make sure that my plan is not something that the Lord is going to thwart. I should say, if the Lord wills, I will live, but I might not. And so that's sort of a adversarial relationship with the Lord. And I'm afraid that that's how most of us live our lives, in an adversarial relationship with the Lord's will. I want to live tomorrow, but it's up to the Lord. Maybe I won't live tomorrow. I want to buy and sell and get gain, but it's up to the Lord. Maybe I won't do that. I want to, but maybe the Lord will hinder it. I want to turn that upside down. Today I want to suggest this. If the Lord has a will, and He does, if the Lord wills, then we shall live and do this or that. The Lord has this will. And once you realize that the Lord has a will that concerns you in a personal way, whether you live, whether you go into a city and buy and sell and get gain or all that, once you realize that the Lord has a wish for your life, let's say it this way, the Lord has a wish for your life in the year 2014. Once you realize that, then your goal shouldn't be to plow on unless the Lord hinders you. The goal should be to imagine, to understand what that wish is that the Lord has for your life. And that should inspire you, should be glad. And that's exactly what I hope will happen. When Walt Disney was doing all of his imagining of things, he said, "Our work must have a foundation of fact." So, sure, a lot of grand things could be done, but could we actually do it? Do we have the engineering, the technology to do it? He said, "We cannot do fantastic things unless we know what is real and what is not." We have to know what the Lord is doing, what is real in this world, what is worth living for. We have to know these things. And we have to know that God is at work and we want to follow Him in His work, not plow ahead and hope that He doesn't mess it up for us, but to find out what He wants to do and to trust Him with it, to be excited about that. If you could imagine the Lord being excited about His work, wouldn't He be? Don't you think the Lord is keenly interested in what He's going to do in the next 12 months? I think the Lord is pretty happy about it. Well, if He's happy about it, then you should be happy about it. It's not an idea of, well, the Lord might thwart what I'm trying to do. He might hinder, He might throw up obstacles and I can't do what I want to do. That's the wrong idea. The Lord is a gracious Lord. Do you know, if you just take one word, for example, the word bless, as it occurs in Scripture. In Greek, bless is makarios, and sometimes we would translate that happy. So it's up to, you know, the translator, as he's reading in the Greek New Testament, you come to the word makarios, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to say blessed or happy? What do you want to say? It just depends on the context. But you take that word blessed, it means happy in the Beatitudes. Happy is the man who does this. Happy is the man who does that. Throughout the Scripture, how often does that term blessed come up? The Lord is trying to make you happy. Does that surprise you? The Lord is very interested that you would be blessed. And by the way, it's interesting that the word happy in English has the word like happenstance. It just happens to be. There's no divine quality to it. We don't want to be happy in the sense of good luck. It just happened. We want to be blessed that the Lord is trying to send happiness to us in his sovereign way. And the Lord is keenly interested in our blessing, isn't it? Something we forget. The Lord wants you to be happy. If, again, we can use our Walt Disney analogy. One day, Walt Disney at the Disneyland Park was watching one of the train conductors who seemed to be crabby, and he was being rude to some of the people who were visiting the park. And Walt Disney saw this. So he went to the supervisor of the train conductor, and here's what he said. He said, see if you can help that fellow have a better understanding of the kind of business we're in. See if you can't cheer him up. If he feels sour, he shouldn't work here. We are selling happiness. That is very similar to what God has in mind. All of those blessing texts, and we haven't even talked about love texts and grace texts and mercy texts. Let's just talk about the blessing texts. In the Old Testament, God tells his people, if you do this, if you follow me, you are going to be blessed in your farms. You're going to be blessed in your husbandry. Your animals will prosper. You'll have barns that are full. You're going to have lots of children who love you and lots of success in war. Blessed here and blessed there and blessed there. God is in the business of blessing. Grace, love, mercy, loving kindness, all of those words, that's God. He's in the business of happiness, your happiness. So it's so backwards for us to think, oh, today I'm going to live and I'm going to go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, but I hope God doesn't mess it up for me. That is so wrong and it's so backwards because the Lord is intentional about making you happy. He wants you to be blessed. Over and over, we're reading that in Scripture. All right, so let's apply that to your vision for 2014 for your own life and then how that affects the entire church. In the first place, the Lord is very keen on you enjoying the cultivating of character in the year 2014. That's where your blessing is going to be. The Lord is far more interested in what you are than in what you do. He is more interested in being than doing. Being is character. The Lord wants you to be a great person. It is necessary for your blessing that you are a true person in your heart, in your character. To have integrity of character. You are who you seem to be, and you seem to be a very fine person. That's integrity. That is character. And the Lord is keenly interested in that. A character that's made soft by two things in particular in your Christian life. A character that's made soft by input from God's word. You have to remember that James says the Bible is like a mirror. And how often do you look in a mirror? I suspect every day. Probably many times a day. And that's what the Bible has to be for you. You don't even know that your character is soiled if you don't look in the mirror of God's word. You don't even know that you have this flaw on your face if you don't look in the mirror. And the Bible is that mirror. You need to have attachment, acquaintance with the Bible. You need input from the Bible many times, every day. Many times, meaning you're going to have to recall things. What does God think about how I'm relating to this person? Did I do a good job? What does God think about how I am thinking of this money situation in my life? Is that a good idea? You need input from God, God's message all the time coming at you in the year 2014. That's Bible reading. And of course, we have a prayer emphasis this year. You need constant contact, communication with God. And we're encouraging you in the year 2014 to pray without ceasing, as the Bible says, sending up arrow prayers, giving of thanks. The other day I was using my circular saw and I cut off a board and my glasses were sitting on the end that fell on the ground with the board end. And I forgot. I left them sitting there. Well, these babies cost like $300 and I'm so prissy about them. I hate, you know, to waste money. And I was ready to go somewhere and all of a sudden I thought, oh, my glasses, I think I left them outside somewhere. I'm afraid. And I tramped around without a flashlight for a little while. I couldn't find them. Then Teresa and I went out there with the flashlight and she saw them just like that. We picked them up. And they were right where we were stepping. Teresa's foot was very close. I had been stepping all over there looking, and I didn't crush them. I was so glad. I think God deserves a thanks for that. As a matter of fact, he probably deserves lots of thanks for that. Just these arrow prayers. You know, that was a mercy. That was a grace. Wasn't that nice? And what about for guidance? Ooh, I don't know what to say to this person who's putting me in an awkward situation. And what about for strength, emotional strength? Oh, I don't know what to do. I feel so sad. I don't want to go around feeling sad. I'm supposed to encourage people today. I don't want to feel sad like this. What shall I do? Lord, give me grace. Give me strength so I'm not sad, so that I'm not angry, so that I am not worried. Give me grace. Give me strength. And these arrow prayers going up all the time, that's what God wants. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is the idea. All throughout the day. And so I hope you will. God wants you to enjoy the year 2014 as you cultivate your character. Is it hard for you to imagine that God wants you to enjoy the year 2014 cultivating character? This is the path of blessing. Look at the Beatitudes again. Blessed is the man who loves righteousness. He hungers after righteousness. Blessed is this person who's meek. He's humble. The Lord wants you to be happy. And that's related to how you cultivate character, your inner being, your inner health. The Lord wants that. He wants you to enjoy himself, enjoy 2014 by simply surviving in an honest way. You know, to have a good work ethic. You're going to make honest money and you're going to survive. You're going to feed your own family. You know, the Lord wants you to do this. So over and over, we have things in the scripture. If any man will not work, neither should he eat. That's part of character, but it's also now something you do. You've got to work. And the Lord wants you to be honest, to have work integrity, to be a person who survives because you have studied. You've been diligent to be quiet and to do your own work and to work with your own hands. That's what the scripture says. And so the Lord wants you to enjoy that. Is it hard for you to imagine that the Lord just wants you to enjoy him in the year 2014 doing good, honest work, providing for yourself? The Lord wants you to have enough food, to have enough sleep, because you're putting these pieces together. If you're going to enjoy the Lord in 2014, you know, you have to survive. Of course, you can survive in heaven. But if you're going to be here, then I hope that you will work and that you'll provide enough food and money for yourself and for the people who are relying on you. We sometimes think, well, maybe God doesn't really care about my enjoyment. Maybe that's not so important to God. And that's so dishonest, because you would be saying then that people who desire happiness, like a parent desires happiness for a child, that people are more gracious than God. Because while I want my children to be happy, God doesn't want that for his children. I mean, is that possible? Can you allow yourself to believe that? When Disney was young, he liked to take his kids to an amusement park in the Los Angeles area. And it bothered him because there was a carousel there. And He was so disappointed because from a distance, when you come up, the carousel is very pretty and the horses are bobbing up and down. And when you get close to it, and especially when it stopped, he saw that the paint was all chipped. And actually, only the horses on the periphery go up and down. The rest are just bolted to the floor. He thought, what a disappointment. He thought, I could do better than that. And his thinking was, and he said it for parents and children, he said, I felt that there should be something built where the parents and the children could have fun together. Yeah, I could really see that. I can identify with that. Parents and children should have fun together. But I'll bet God isn't that good, right? God doesn't really care that we enjoy 2014, that we enjoy Him in 2014. God wouldn't care about such things as human happiness. And yet you have all of those blessing texts, all of the grace texts, the love texts, the mercy texts. Yes, God is keenly interested in your enjoyment. And He wants you to enjoy building character, working with your own hands, providing for yourself. He wants you to enjoy the atmosphere of your own family. You know, God enjoys His family. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? You think that you want your children to be happy, but God doesn't want His children to be happy? Is that honest? God wants you to be happy, and as a matter of fact, He wants you to enjoy Him, to enjoy His world, to enjoy 2014 in the atmosphere of your family. This is an essential. If you have a family, this is an essential. The Lord is not looking to make you miserable in your family. He wants you to be blessed in your family. So that includes such things as having an emotionally connected family. You know, if you love something, if you truly enjoy a hobby, for example, you don't have to force yourself to do it. Like, what is your deal? You don't have to force me to go get on that crazy motorcycle on a nice sunny day and go for a ride. You don't have to force me to do that. I'm glad to do that. If you're enjoying your family as God intended, we don't have to force you to spend time with your family. Of course you're going to spend time with your family. And the Lord wants that. He wishes that your family would be happy. So you need to learn, you know, what did God have in mind when He said, well, you want good things for your children, don't you? Well, would you think that I don't want good things for my children? The Lord wants you to enjoy life. And part of that is what you're doing with your family. If you've been negligent, you're not emotionally connected. You know, today, more women than men initiate divorces. Do you know why they do that? The number one reason? They don't feel like their husbands are emotionally connected with them. There's no emotional draw. They can be roommates. They're living together. But there's no love. There's no pizzazz to the marriage. They're not emotionally connected. So they initiate divorce. Well, why aren't you emotionally connected with your family? You know, that's the most important thing in raising children. You think, why do my children treat me with such disrespect? In a word, there's no emotional connection. Because when the children are emotionally connected to you, when you have their hearts, then everything's going to be okay. If you don't have their hearts, you could beat them half to death. And they're not going to want to follow you. If you don't have their hearts, you can yell and scream and make your face turn red. They don't want to follow you. There's nothing you can do to make your children follow you if you don't have their hearts. You know what the Lord wants you to do in 2014 with your families? He wants you to be emotionally connected. He wants you to pull up the chairs, to get in your child's head, to get in his heart, to get in your wife's head, to get in her heart, and be connected. And you can do that. That's why there's all that stuff in the scripture about husbands loving their wives as Jesus loved the church. You think Jesus has an emotional connection to you? Well, I think that's how you're supposed to love your wife then. Have an emotional connection in 2014. This is the way God set up. This is His vision for your life. Way back in the 1940s, people who knew Walt Disney said he used to stand by this field, an empty field of weeds, near his Burbank studio. He'd sit out there and he was just looking. You know what he's doing? He was imagining how his life could go in turning this field, an 8-acre field, into an amusement park so that his employees and their children could have fun together, could be emotionally connected. Well, pretty soon as his ideas grew, 8 acres wasn't really going to cut it anymore. After a while, he saw that there was actually a 240-acre orange grove near Anaheim. And that was the right idea. He finally had the impetus, the ability to begin work in 1954 on Disneyland in California. It took him 12 months. They wanted to open 12 months after breaking ground. And so they opened this magnificent theme park that we now know as Disneyland. And it was an amazing time. You might not know it, but Walt Disney had an apartment in the California Disneyland right over the firehouse on Main Street. And that little apartment, about 500 square feet, had a shower, a kitchenette, 2 couches with fold-out beds. And it had a back patio secluded with vines and that kind of thing so that the guests couldn't see. And he just loved to be there. On the first day when they opened the park, some of the Mouseketeers were allowed to come up in his little apartment. He was standing at the window watching the people come through the gates. And they said he started swallowing funny because he had a lump in his throat. And he was grinning from ear to ear. And a tear was running down his face because he was just so happy that what he had envisioned out there standing near the field in Burbank, only 8 acres, that won't work. 244 acres, that's the right idea. And families coming in and they were going to have fun together. And he was motivated by what he saw. Do you know what the Lord's vision is for you? To be a great person, deep down good person, integrity of character. And to work with your own hands, you're not going to be lazy. You're going to provide for your own needs and for those that you love. And to have family relationships in which you're really connected to each other. You're making that a priority. And the Lord is trying to give you that vision. And it's your job to stand out and look in the field. Say, how could it be so? What should I be doing to be emotionally connected with my family? What should I do with my character because I have this flaw or that flaw? And you've got to catch the vision of God. If God wishes it to be so, and He does. If God wills, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You've got to see it. And then when you see it, you have to bring it to pass. And someday maybe you'll be standing at your window looking out and saying, this is what I was supposed to do. This was the vision. This was the inspiration the Lord put in my heart. And I really did it. And you have to quit saying no to the Lord. If you say no to the Lord in your family, then that affects your character. It's not like this is an a la carte menu. You pick whatever things in the Bible you like and you leave the rest out. It's not a buffet. You like this and you don't like that, and so you just do this and not that. It's not this. This is the Lord's plan for your life, that you'd catch the entire vision, you'd stand with your feet on the edge of the field and see what is supposed to happen in 2014. And when you get it, don't you say no to one thing. If you say no to one thing, it's the domino effect. One thing leans on another, and your heart is soiled, and you're not going to be what the Lord wants you to be. Enjoying God in the atmosphere of your own church community. The Lord intends that you live in community. We call it the church, the congregation, the gathering, the assembly. The Lord wants you to live in community with your church. He wants you to be involved. The old hymn says, make friends of God's children. Make friends of God's children. Make it your priority. Because there's nowhere else besides with God's children that you're going to hear the counter arguments to the world. I mean, why is the world wrong? Why are we different? Peer pressure, media pressure. What is the counterbalance that? Why should our kids think that Miley Cyrus is wrong? Why should they think that? Who out there is telling them that? Nobody out there is telling them that. You tell them that. They need to be here. They need to make friends with God's children here in the Christian community. That's God's plan. That is, as you sit on the edge of the field and you envision what God wants for 2014, make no mistake about it, God wants you in the Christian community, up to your eyeballs in the Christian community. The Lord wants you to live in community, which means no privacy. Some privacy, but by and large, no privacy. Transparency. You should know that there are people watching you. You should not be ashamed that somebody found out you were doing thus and thus. No privacy is necessary if you're living a life of integrity. Transparency is what we're looking for. That happens in community. And you know why some people hate to get very involved with church? Because they're protecting their privacy. They're doing something wrong and they don't want anybody to know. The greatest obstacle to living in community is privacy. And that's what's killing you. In 2014, the Lord doesn't want you to be private. The Lord wants you to be transparent. Be who you seem to be. Let others come alongside. Hold your feet to the fire. Give input in your life. That's Christian community. And the Lord wants that. That's part of the Disney Park layout for your life in 2014. Enjoying God requires that you live in community, that you tell the message of the gospel, make friends of God's children, sure enough, but also remember that we're always inviting the next guy in. And in the year 2014, make sure that you're always looking for the next person, always your antenna up, inviting them to join this community. When Disney watched the people coming into the park, sometimes he'd be up in his apartment. He had special guests and they would look out over the main street there and he would say, wait till the people come. Wait till the people come. That's when the magic really happens. And that's true. It's true for all of us. We don't want to live alone. We want to live together. And the more people we have coming in, the better it is. That's where the magic is. And that's what the Lord wants for every one of you. You haven't spoken to your workmates about the gospel. It's time to pipe up. Your neighbors don't know that you're a Christian. It's time to pipe up. The person standing next to you in the line might need a friendly greeting. Try. Just see. It's time to speak up to invite the next person into this happiness. And then there are always these little pleasures that come together. You know, Disneyland was never expected to be real. When you look at the town that you have there in Main Street, that's not a real place. It was never intended to be a real place. It's interesting what a humanities professor says about this, Wendy Neild. She says, Walt Disney's theme parks are the ultimate expression of the idea of America. Main Street doesn't truly represent a location that ever existed. It is the idealized small town of story and legend. It is a town where things are clean, bright, and a little bit simpler. It is a town where people are not overworked or rushed. Everyone has time to say hello, and in our imaginations, a might have been that brings back all the good things about small town America and the American spirit. It makes guests think of what a town should be and what it could be. I love that because that's what we're doing in the Christian life. We're circling the wagons. We're making a community that's really not like the world. And we know that people are supposed to be good and kind, but it doesn't happen out there very well. It happens here. And that's what the Lord wants it to be here. Oh, the Lord is in the business of happiness. Blessed is the person who does this and blessed is the person who does that. And you want to join him in that business. You want to do it his way so that you personally will be happy. And you want to do it his way so you can bring happiness to the next person. That's what the Lord is doing. You have to see the vision. The Lord wants you to do all of this. All this, and you can. Don't be like the person who says, today or tomorrow we're going to such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain, hoping that the Lord doesn't mess it up. Be the person who says, oh, God wishes certain things to be done, And he's trying to communicate those wishes to me in an inspiration, if you will, inspiration for my life, how I'm supposed to live. He's trying to communicate that to me. I want to know that. And when I know it, I'm going to build the life that he has in mind. I'm going to do it just like he said I should do it. When Walt Disney was dying, a biographer approached him. By the way, he died of lung cancer and he was famous for his smoking. So a biographer approached him near the end of his life in 1966 and talked to him about maybe doing a biography of his life. And Walt Disney said, "I don't want to do this. I'll tell you why. Walt Disney is now a thing, an image that people have in their minds. And I spent my whole life building it. Walt Disney, the person, isn't that image necessarily. I drink and I smoke, and there's a whole lot of other things that I do that I don't want to be part of that image." It's interesting that he did not entirely live up to the vision of what he was trying to make at Disneyland, a place where everything was true and good and kind and people loved each other. And it wasn't, his personal life didn't measure up to the purity that he had envisioned and imagined. That could happen to you. As you stand at the edge of your grassy field looking at 2014, you start to get it. All right, I get it. The Lord wants me to be a truly good person, be a truly good family man, to be a truly good church man, to be honest with my work, to be a person who is bringing the message of the kingdom to the next person. That's what the Lord wants me to do. I see it in my mind. I capture the vision that the Lord is trying to inspire me with. If you're standing on your field and seeing that, and then you look at one part, you say, "No, I'm not going to do that." When you've done that, you have begun to have these regrets. This is not the life that the Lord had for you. Don't hold back. Don't say, "No, I'm not going to do that." Do the entire thing. Build it up. No regrets. And as you stand at the edge of 2014, you should know that the Lord wants you to be happy. The Lord is in the business of happiness. And I hope you will not say no to him, not in anything.